Happy Wednesday, everybody. Thank you so much for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. As always, we're so glad that you're here. We're getting ready to answer your listener questions, including a great question from Sue from Pennsylvania, asking about how long we think the 50th anniversary celebration at Walt Disney World will last. Will it be 12 months? Will it be a decade? Hear our thoughts in just a minute. First, a word from our sponsors, and that includes our friends over at virtualmickey.com, home of great iPhone apps like Days2Go, WDW. Days2Go lets you count on the days until that next Walt Disney World vacation with style. Right now, as I glance down at my iPhone 7 Plus, I can see that I'm down to a mere 25 days to go till a very quick, I call it spring break trip, down to Coronado Springs. I have something I need to do, a little top secret right now, but it's going to be a great quick getaway to see some palm trees and get my vitamin D. And you can count down just like I do with this awesome app. Again, it's Days2Go WDW. These and other great apps will turn your Apple device into a Disney device right now over at virtualmickey.com. Today's show is also brought to you again by our friends over at MilkSnob.com. As seen on ABC's Shark Tank, the iconic Milk Snob cover is a 5-in-1 that can be used as a cover for infant car seats, shopping carts, high chairs, infant swings, and even offers 360-degree coverage for nursing. If you're looking for the perfect baby shower or new mom gift, this is it. Milk Snob is partnered with the wonderful World of Disney. One of their designs features everyone's favorite deer, Bambi. With silhouettes of woodland scenery, Thumper, and Bambi himself, this cover is great for both baby boys and girls with that subtle nod to the Disney classic. Head over to MilkSnob.com to see their designs and make your first magical order. Again, that's MilkSnob.com.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1304 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the senior agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. Happy Wednesday to you. Hope that you're having a great week. It is spring break week here in St. Louis. First time in 17 years I don't get a spring break. I got to talk to Pam about that here in just a second because my former employers always gave me a week off, man, where I could sleep in and do nothing, which isn't happening this year. But hey, that's okay because I get to wear a cap and, goofy challenge shirts to work every day. So it's all good. It all works out. So anyway, if you're having spring break this week, hopefully you're having a good one. It is cold and rainy here in St. Louis, but nothing we can do about that. We're going to talk Disney today and answer your listener questions. That's a great remedy in my book. So joining me, fresh off her senior pictures part two this past weekend, we have Ricky from a DisneyWorldAfterAll.com, TouringPlans.com, and The Mouse for Less. And right now, I'm trying to see, oh wait, we're doing video live on Facebook today as we record, and I'm making sure she's not updating pages for Mickey's Not So Scary and Very Merry, because I thought she might be doing that right now. What's up, Ricky?
She may be doing work on the side. Who knows?
How about those tickets going on sale early this year? What is it? It's March. It's not even
Usually Easter. They'll release the dates like early, but they won't release the tickets. And this year they release them boom like that. So yeah, usually they don't release them until about May. So this was a surprise to a lot of people.
And the first Halloween party I want to say was August 17th. Come on now. We can make July this year. Come on, let's do it. Let's do it next year, July 31st.
It's so early. Like I'm still like summer sweating at that point. Can you imagine being in a Halloween costume? Oh,
I know. That's the first thing I thought that year I wore Captain EO. Speaking of 10 years, the one year I was stupid enough to dress as Captain EO at a Halloween party at a podcast event. That almost ended the podcast because I almost died that night at the Magic Kingdom. And I mean, it wasn't even August. That was like September.
Yeah, Pam and I would have continued it. It's fine.
Yeah, I'm sure. I know.
We go on.
Yeah, that's it. That's exactly. Yeah, yes, just like exactly. Illuminations. All right, also joining us, we have the co-owner of the Magic for Less Travel, Pam Forrester. What's going on, Pam?
Happy Wednesday. I haven't had a spring break in like 15 years, so go. I'm just saying to you.
Okay.
Since we started the Magic for Less.
Well, it's a new thing for me. You know, I got to adjust here. It's a little shock to the system, but I'm making it. I'm halfway through.
You'll be okay. It actually all kinds of evens out. There's some other perks involved in it. But, you know, it's a good thing. But our spring break, if we were celebrating, I just was watching the forecast before I came down here to record, and we're supposed to get a winter mix. So
that's beautiful. Oh, yeah, you're getting stuff we're having. Fun. It's not fun. But, you know, hey, we're here talking Disney, so let's do it. Let's jump into a question. We're heading up north for this question. It's from... Let's see here. Looks like Melissa. Good afternoon, ladies and Mike. I discovered your podcast recently and enjoy it very much. I'm currently planning our second trip to the world at the end of June of this year. We are happy to have scored ADRs for dinner at Cinderella's Royal Table on the 23rd at 7 o'clock p.m. A surprise for our girls. They're almost 6 and 8 by then. I was wondering if our dinner would be over in time to see the fireworks, and if so... Will we be able to walk freely to find a spot to watch since some pathways are blocked for fireworks? If we are still inside the castle, will we be able to see some of the fireworks? What are your best options to end this magical night in regards to fireworks? Okay, so let's stop there. All right, so Ricky, they're eating in the castle. 7 o'clock p.m. It looks like they're going to be there on, she said, the 23rd of June.
Okay.
7 o'clock, so we're guessing the fireworks would probably be, we don't know for sure. We might know for sure by now, but I'm saying they're going to probably happen around 10 o'clock maybe in June.
Yeah, I'm guessing either 9 or 10. I'm trying to pull it up real fast too, but I don't know if I can get it fast enough. It's going to be pushing it if it's at 9. If it's at 10, they should be okay. I mean, assuming that everything goes swimmingly, you know, with dinner.
But you won't be able to see anything inside the castle because the fireworks are actually, even though they look like they're above the castle, they're actually coming off some of the buildings in Fantasyland, like PhilharMagic. No, they'd be coming off like Small World, right? They're the back Fantasyland buildings, correct? There might be some effects off PhilharMagic. Just like those side ones that go...
Yeah.
They use those like once or twice, but most of them actually aren't even in the park. They're back outside the park. So you wouldn't be able to see them inside the castle, I don't think, but...
you said June 23rd?
June 23rd.
Okay.
I'm stalling for you.
I finally got it up. There, so let's see what we've got here. This is riveting for those of
it
you.
It is. Well, we're working. We're working.
This makes great radio.
It makes a fantastic radio. Oh, okay. Well, it looks like fireworks are at about 9:15.
Oof, that's early.
Yeah. So that's going to be... It's going to be a little rough to make. You can make it, but you may not be able to get a great spot out front. So just keep that in mind.
And so you go into Cinderella's Royal Table kind of from the back of the castle, like by the carousel. So when you come out of the restaurant, you're not going to be able to push through like out the front of the castle. They're going to push you back into Fantasyland. Then you have to kind of make your way, hustle if you want to get to the in front of the castle, maybe to the hub area. But yeah, that you'd have to kind of go around probably by... Peter Pan and through Liberty Square and get around that way because everything else will be blocked off. All right, next question she has here. This one's for Pam. On another subject, we now know that Toy Story Land will be opening the last full day of our trip. Will there be a chance to get fast passes for any of the rides? How crazy should we expect the land to be on the first day? Should we skip it entirely? Our first trip was Christmas week 2015. And we've seen the parks full, or should we go embrace ourselves? You guys speak of soft openings from time to time. Could this mean that there is a chance to see that land in the days prior to the 30th? All right, Pam, address all this. What's some good advice for folks that are looking to catch a little Toy Story Land action here at the end of June?
Well, so the bad news is from the last land that we had open, which was Pandora, they actually did not have any soft openings for those who are not Disney Vacation Club members or cast members or annual pass holders. And even the soft openings that they did have, they actually really regulated those and you had to register for them. So we haven't really seen soft openings where they just invite whoever's walking past to come in a little bit. Of course, we don't know what they're going to do with this one, but I'm leaning towards that's probably what it will be like. It will probably be similar to that. Just because Disney wants to control that a little bit, they don't want people just hanging out by the door and then getting disappointed that they weren't able to get in, which did happen some with the Fantasyland ones. And I just felt they received sort of unfair criticism for that. They were like, I'm so mad I didn't get a soft opening. It's like, okay.
Yeah, by definition, it's not something that definitely happens.
Right,
you know?
Exactly. So they want to avoid some guest disappointment. So that way you would know in advance. I absolutely anticipate that you will be able to make FastPass Plus arrangements for the day that it officially opens. I don't know if it will be available right there at the 60-day mark. It may or may not, but last time it was a little after, so just keep that in mind. But just keep watching. They'll eventually put out some information here so that we can get a sense of that, especially when we're when we're reaching close to the 60 days prior to that June opening, then you will know. So, I mean, it's going to be a really exciting time to be there. We were there on the last opening of Pandora for the first few days. It was a little crazy. And then it really settled down. The crazy stuff really only happened for a couple of days. And then it really kind of just, mellowed out into just being a really challenging to get FastPass, which it still is to this date. So people are excited about having something new, and I'm excited about having something new. And I think that being there when it first opens just has a kind of energy to it that you don't get later on. I mean, because think about it. We all love the Magic Kingdom, but are we all like that revved to go into Adventureland anymore? I don't think we are, but I still kind of feel that feeling when I'm going into Pandora. Like, ooh, I'm still going to see stuff that I don't know as well and, discover little hidden things. I had a cast member show us some really cool little hidden gems in Pandora the last time we were there. So just still really love being able to explore something new.
I don't know, man. The redhead is pulling me into Adventureland like nobody's business. I hear she's selling rum. That's the last I heard.
I hear with a gun, and I think there's a little booze in her hand now. I know, that's what I heard. Like
she's in charge. She's in charge now.
Pirate Red.
Yeah. You know what, though? She was in charge before, too. Let's just
tell the truth. Maybe a different way, but yeah.
She was in charge before.
Back in the day when we started this podcast 10 years ago, the redhead didn't have a gun and wasn't selling rum.
Times have changed. We all need a little rum.
That's true. That's true. All right. Let's see. Let me finish that.
What's in my cup?
I know. Cheers. 10 years. All right. She says, let's see. Let's finish her email here. Finally, is registration for Jedi training that hard to get? I'm planning a rope drop for this, not on the 30th. You know what? Actually, on the 30th, you might be able to get everybody will be going the other way. It's like zigging and when everybody else is zagging. But I will say, just if you're going to rope drop and she's planning on rope dropping, you're going to be fine. I've done this with Mallory. You're going to be fine. So just hop in there and get in there as soon as you can. She says, thanks so much in advance for all the information. Writing from the northern side of the border, Laval, Quebec, Canada. So thanks so much, Melissa. We appreciate that very much. And now Joe has the question of the day. We got to get through this because it has to be addressed. I think we'd lose our card if we didn't at least bring it up. And again, we're trying to go with our best advice on this. So Joe is asking, if we have a pre-March 21st reservation, will we still get charged for the parking fee at the resort? So Ricky, kind of, because I didn't see this one coming, just lay it on if anybody was under a rock here and didn't hear and didn't outrage. Man, that was the biggest thread we've ever had on the Facebook page last week. Unbelievable. Sure. And I loved everybody's feedback. I mean, people were passionate and they were passionate, and it was exciting to read everybody's thoughts. And I kind of feel the same as most of our listeners. I don't think this is something Disney had to do. It's kind of in line with other hotels. I don't think they needed to do this. I don't think they're going to go out of business. I think those cars could be there without a problem, but I don't know. But I mean, just that's me. I don't want to pay any extra money. But Ricky, what happened and what's the official word that we know so far? We don't know really until the date comes, but what's the word, Bird?
Oh, you mean the Walt Disney World money grab? Anyway, yes, no. So kinda. What it is, starting for reservations on March 21st, guests who are staying at the Walt Disney World Resorts hotels are now going to have to pay a parking fee. It's only for reservations that are made. And this is the part that's confusing because Disney's not really saying made on or after. I think March 21st is kind of how they're making it seem. The parking fees are going to be different at the different resort categories. Yep. So value resorts, it's $13 per day. For moderate resorts, it's $19 per day. And for deluxe resorts, it is $24 per day. So just keep that in mind when you're budgeting your trip. It is not charged onto your like package or anything like that. You will have to pay that at the resort when you're checking out. So that's something to keep in mind as well. And I don't know the answer to Joe's question of if you rebook a package.
I do.
Yeah.
Pam has that answer.
Go to the expert.
Yay.
Take it, Pam.
As long as you are booked, your original booking date is before 3/21, you will be fine, even if we have to apply a discount code to your existing reservation, as long as you're booked with that. And good news, because this is just about ready to roll out to all of our great agents, but we have negotiated 2019 marathon room rates.
Finally. Thank you, Lord. Everybody wants these. Thank you. Yes.
You will not have to pay parking. Oh. On the group rate.
Really? Nice. That's better than free dining, free parking.
I know, right? So anyway, so it should be coming out in the next week. I just, the contract is done. I just have to get it back from Disney, sign it, and nice. Then we'll be ready to start booking. So they're coming. So just be aware of that. So actually we have a guest that is working with one of our agents that actually has wanted to go ahead and book, three or four different package stays before that parking thing increases, because he wants to be able to have them throughout the 2018 year to be able to move around as he wants. So
genius. That's a genius.
Right?
I'm just lucky.
$200 deposit down. Boom. You're ready to go.
That just reminds me, my final payment for my personal Disney trip is due today. So because my Disney Visa got jacked, so I had to get a new card and it just got delivered right before we started recording. So don't let me forget, as we record here, I got to make my final payment, or I won't even have a place to stay. I'm not as organized as some of these other guests. So we'll have to take care of that. All right. Next question. This is a good one here. And we do have celebrities in the Facebook Live right now, if you notice, guys. I mean, we have all of our great listeners, but Matt and Nate Parrish from Wedway Radio in their final season. What are you guys thinking? Come on. We need more Wedway. Even though the show today, I learned more about St. Louis history than I have in quite a while. I enjoyed that on the treadmill this morning. And I think they talked, there was a line in their podcast, if you listen to Wedway, I think Nate mentioned buffalo sniffing prairie dogs or something like that. I was like, did I just hear that right? Because he was talking about how the westward expansion project was going. Anyway, it was weird. I could have been just zoned out on the treadmill. Sue's got the next question. Let's get out of this. Hey, Mike and ladies, do you think the 50th anniversary of Walt Disney World, beginning on October 1st, 2021, will continue for 12 plus months, or do you think it will begin prior to the official anniversary? I don't recall how the other anniversaries were handled. Love the podcast. Thanks for all you do. Sue's in Pennsylvania. So, Ricky, what's your best guess on this one? The 50th. I mean, it's a big deal. Is it going to be a year long? Is it going to be the 2 years of a million dreams? What's it going to turn into?
So it very well is more than likely. Now, we don't know 100%, but I suspect that they will probably, the official kickoff will be that October 1st date. So, you know, I've been there on other anniversary dates, and it's always been that date of, you know, as the kickoff for those kind of things. As far as how long this year will last, who knows? Could last for a year, could last for two. You never know at Disney. So I assume that will be the marketing campaign for that year. But then again, who knows? They kind of have gone away with a lot of the, you know, let's celebrate this year for the whole year type situation too. So we'll see what happens. I'm sure they're going to celebrate the whole 50th thing for the whole like year and a half, 2 years.
I hope so. I mean, because it is such a milestone, you know, and it's not just like, you know, Disney's the iconic brand when it comes to theme parks, and they can really make this something that they mark for, say, 18 months. But I hope it's kind of like, what anniversary was that where they brought in like things, you know, let's don't worry about Lights, Motor, Action, but when they brought in Soarin' and they brought in the stage show.
That was in 2005, and that was for Disneyland's 50th anniversary. Okay. So that wasn't even for Disney World.
They really did some cool things out at Disneyland for the 50th anniversary, and they did these little golden Mickey ear medallions that they put all over the parks on different things, and you could kind of look for that. It was just a really cool celebration, and I think that they'll really do some things that'll make, you know, guests happy, whether this is your first time or your 50th time or your 550th time. Hopefully there'll be something there for you to celebrate
You kind of sound like the welcome show there. Whether this is your first time visiting us or your 100th, don't run to your first attraction. Anyway, all right. So yeah, I'm looking forward to the 50th.
No pushing. Fun.
The 40th was nuts. No, remember that morning, Ricky, on the 40th? Whew. I was goodness. Scared to get out of there alive. It was kind of madness. Anyway, next question. No, hello, Mike, Ricky, and Pam. I'm coming to you guys from Memphis, Tennessee. I was planning a three-day trip during the week of May 7th for two, but due to recent events, breaking up with my girlfriend and some deep thinking, I was not going to stop myself from going to Walt Disney World. So I decided to plan a solo trip coming in the morning of May 7th and leaving on May 10th. This is my first solo trip. Kind of feels like a rite of passage for Disney fanatics. And that being said, I have a couple of questions. One, Memory Maker. I've booked the trip and put my deposit in already and did this without booking Memory Maker. Is it worth getting the Memory Maker if you're by yourself or even if just being there for 3 days? If it is worth it, is it too late to add Memory Maker to my package? Can I get it after my trip when I still have access to my photos? All right, Pam, what do you think? Advice on this. Memory Maker by yourself, and when can you get it? When's it too late? All that stuff.
So I always think that Memory Maker is worth getting. First of all, if you buy it more than 3 days in advance of your trip, you get that kind of that advance discount. So take advantage of that, buy it at least 3 days in advance of your trip so that you get to take advantage of that discount. I mean, let's take whatever discount we can get, right? And I always think that Memory Maker's it was worth it because for less than $160, you're basically capturing those memories that you wouldn't really capture any other way. I mean, whether you're by yourself, whether you're with a group, it doesn't matter. I think it's still worth purchasing. Where, I mean, they'll capture, the PhotoPass photographers will capture things that you won't be able to capture yourself. The interaction with the characters, you know, the things that you do when you're in front of the camera, it's not the same as a selfie. I mean, selfies, there's a time and place for selfies for sure, but there's also a time when having a photographer actually capture that moment for you, I think is worth its weight in gold. So that's definitely worth doing. Plus you get the ride videos. There's no way you're going to catch that with a selfie. I mean, you can't hold your phone like this while you're on Seven Dwarfs. It's not going to be very good. Plus it's like, they get you like in slow-mo on that. Like your hair's looking good. The wind's pushing your hair back. You're looking good during that. So anyways, you won't want to miss those and other ride videos. I just think, you know, for me, I would rather have Memory Maker than many other souvenirs combined because it's just something that will stay with you forever.
So. Would you rather have Memory Maker or your car park for free? What do you say? Which one? Because it could come down to that. I'm just saying, if you're staying for a week at a deluxe. But anyway, I'm not going there. I'm not going there.
I'm
going
to be parking my car at Pop Century.
No, don't say it. I know.
And then I'm Ubering over to the yacht club. I can't wait to tell the cast member when I'm checking in. I am ready for it. Oh, I'm like, man. Girl, bring it on.
There's been so many
here. My car's over at Pop Century right now.
So many great ideas. Some of the agents are getting together to buy a plot of land somewhere near Disney, and they're going to open up one of those by the cruise port where you can park offsite, like, and they'll shuttle you over to your deluxe hotel. There's a lot of great ideas going around.
Buy one of the crappy Kissimmee hotels and turn it into a parking structure.
Don't think somebody hasn't thought of that already. I'm telling you, man. This is entrepreneurship 101 right here. I'm telling you, this could be. Somebody's going to make some money. It always happens. All right, let's see. Zachariah's second question. ADR, I'm 75 days out from my trip, so obviously far behind in reservations because I have made none. Would it be easier, since I'm going solo, to book the fast passes I want first and see which parks I will be in certain times and book my ADRs around that? This may sound absurd, but I don't care too much about where I eat. Or will it be impossible to reserve anything 60 days out? Thank you for taking the time to look over this. Don't know how far I am from each of you, but being here in Memphis, I do want to say one thing. I was raised in Nashville to be a hardcore Predators fan, and I'm going on some revenge in the Stanley Cup Finals on Pam's Penguins. And Mike, it's always a fun game when we play our division rivals, your Blues. Well, guess what? You're not going to beat our Blues in the playoffs this year because we're not going to make the playoffs, it doesn't look like, so that's fine. But the Pens are going to be there. I know they're going to be tough. So,
yes, they are. Yeah. I'm going to hold out. Hold out hope for a three-peat, man. That would be historical.
I'm saying. So. Steve just got to put on the shirt, and the team will be good to go. That's the power shirt. Anyway. Yeah,
That's it.
He can't put on the shirt too much.
Yeah,
can't we just live quiet lives. I can't be dragging him out to drink tequila, please.
Yeah, that shirt will be on the Be Our Guest Podcast Cruise 5 sailing on June 28th of 19.
I better get
come
a
see
backup
the shirt.
Right now. You better, yeah. So I have one.
Put it in a safe. All right, Ricky, what do you think? He's 75 days out. Actually, he's less than that now at this point. You know, I think he's got good advice here at this point. Build your touring plan around your fast passes first, and he's not really worried about where he eats, you know, and just kind of drop those in as they go. That's what I would say for him.
I mean, absolutely. That's exactly what I would do. I would get my fast passes in line, and then I would work on the ADRs. I can tell you truthfully, honestly, I don't make ADRs at 180 days. I very rarely make ADRs, you know, until a day or two before. So you're going to be able to make, you know, availability. I've seen availability on Christmas Day that I didn't think would be there. So for restaurants that weren't, you know, that were super popular. So you may not get like the prime time that you're looking for, but you're going to be able to eat. So don't worry about that. And you'll be able to eat at some very nice restaurants. Or of course, there's the lounges, which are always a good choice too. Or you've got great counter service options too. So trust me, you are not going to go hungry. I promise.
So we love our listeners, right? Right. We still do after 10 years. We love them, yes. Except for when they're in the chat here. Marlisa says, I just realized that the BOGP's first year was when I graduated eighth grade. What? That means she must be in ninth grade. No, that's crazy.
Exactly. Yeah.
Anyway, that's great. All right. Anyway, yeah, we're not that old. I mean, come on. This has really gone fast. I mean, except that Mallory was 2 months old when the show started. Now she's 10.
That's crazy.
She went to get braces today. I know. It's crazy. She's expensive. Those braces. Whew. I almost had a heart attack. I almost didn't make tonight's show. Anyway, Krista's got the next email. Hi, Mike, Pam, and Ricky. My family, my husband, 14-year-old daughter, and myself will be spending two nights at the Yacht Club on 4/21 and 22. Got this one in just in time. After spending a week on Anna Maria Island, we'll be arriving around noon time and plan on having a two-day ticket to Epcot. At this point, we're struggling with trying to figure out how to tour. We have dinner reservations at Tutto Italia on Saturday at 7:15. Our FastPass Plus priorities are Frozen Ever After for one day and Soarin' for the other. We figured we could go single rider on Test Track. I also plan on getting a Spaceship Earth FastPass Plus for both days because I love that ride. Flower and Garden will be going on then. If you have any advice on how we should approach touring the World Showcase, I would love to hear it. Any suggestions on drinks from around the world? Snacks and specialty food and garden treats? You all definitely have the best podcast. I thoroughly enjoy your joy and optimism about my favorite place. Thanks so much. Sincerely, Christus from Bar Harbor, Maine, just over 13 hours from Pam in Maine. We never measure distance by how long it takes to get somewhere. Why? Who knows? Go Pats and Mizzou women's basketball. Yeah. Even though we bowed out early this year, but you know, love the girls anyway. So good stuff here. They're going to Epcot 2 days next month. Ricky, what would you give them for some, you've done Flower and Garden reviews here, and Pam, you've been there too. So Ricky, start off, give them some ideas of what to do next month over at Epcot.
So first of all, I think the best advice I'm going to give you for Flower and Garden is, especially for dining, you know, doing the outdoor kitchens, is split your days in half. So since you're going to Epcot twice, do half of the, you know, outdoor kiosks one day, do half of the outdoor kiosks the other day. I think that's going to make you a lot happier, your stomach a little less full. And as far as my favorite things, I definitely like the chocolate macaroon from France. It's very, very, very chocolatey and very sweet, but it's delicious. And I loved the pork belly slider thing that was from the America at the smokehouse. Oh my gosh, that was so good. So those are, I think, my two top picks for this year for dessert and for main entree. But I think she's got a good plan in order to tour the park, you know, splitting up the Soarin' Fast Pass and the Frozen Ever After Fast Pass. Of course, you know, doing Spaceship Earth twice. Good call there. I think they're going to have a great time. Make sure you do spend some time in doing the Butterfly Garden. Make sure that you do things like the other gardens that are around. There are various gardens that you can see throughout. The one thing that is sad is this year there is no Festival Center, since they're apparently doing work on Wonders of Life. So
Space Restaurant.
No idea what's going on. No, it's not the Space Restaurant.
I know it's not.
I could tell you
that's what people are saying. I know that's what people are saying. gigantic space restaurant.
Yeah, the space restaurant is going right next door to Mission Space. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see what goes on at Wonders of Life. But, yeah, so those are going to be my big suggestions for enjoying Flower and Garden and enjoying your time at Epcot, too.
All right, Pam,
I'm sure you have something.
Yeah, and they only have 2 days, so they want to make the most of it. So what do you think about that Frozen Fast Pass feature, the one day? The Spaceship Earth Fast Pass, that's kind of like a throw. You know, you're going to get that because you have to get three. That's not hard, but the Frozen the one day, the Soarin' the other day, I think she's on the right track there as far as her Fast Passes.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. And the one thing I'm going to say is you're staying at the Yacht Club. You know what I'm going to tell you to do. Make some time to stay by that pool. Take, even if you only take 2 hours out of one of your days, make sure that you enjoy that beautiful, beautiful pool area because it's so awesome. You're going to have time to be over in Epcot. You know, make sure that you're there as soon as the World Showcase opens, because that's when the lines are going to be the shortest for all those lovely Flower and Garden booths. The new booth that they have this year all revolves around honey. Yeah, I know. Weird, right? But we stopped there and we got a couple of the items there and we really liked them. They have, I know this one's going to sound a little weird and Mike's not going to like it, but they have a roasted cauliflower with buckwheat honey carrot puree that has over a wild rice pilaf, has asparagus and honey blistered grapes and a sunflower brittle. It was really good, but if that's not to your liking, why don't you try the honey tandoori chicken flatbread with white cheddar cheese, vegetables, and a clover honey sour cream. Sounds kind of fancy, but it's really just a pizza with some chicken and cheese on it. I mean, I'll just say, I'm just going to break it down for you. So
it's just called a spade.
If I were presenting it to Mike, I'd say, Mike, this is flatbread. I would not do all that other stuff. And then he would eat it and like it.
Even flatbread sounds too fancy to say it's pizza.
Right, exactly.
Italian style.
There's a few other that have been there around some of the booths that have been there for a while that are some of my favorite. I love the Cider House that is at the UK, mainly because this really has fond memories for me. But they have a really yummy tuna on a potato and cheddar cheese biscuit, which is lovely. And then they also have the scone. And hello, you can't go wrong with scone. Mike, that's like a biscuit, only it's a little sweet.
It's a little hard, isn't it? Like, aren't the scones kind of...
Well, they are a little harder. Yeah, yeah. But the Florida Fresh booth is awesome, too. They have the carne guisada this year, which was really good. And that spicy black and shrimp is awesome, too. I am a beer girl, and I tried the beer flight that was in America this year at the Smokehouse Barbecue and Brews. It had some great beer choices there, something that I hadn't really tasted any other time, which I, you know, really loved that. It was a kind of a smoky IPA, which I thought was fantastic. I swear those cups are getting smaller, right? They're like, I swear. Yes. But anyways, you know, really enjoyed that. But there's so many great things to eat way around. The one thing I will say is my family, we love doing the food booths, but we like doing them for one meal a day. I don't like to do them for both meals of the day because, like, at some point you're just like, I just want to sit down and, like, have someone bring me some food instead of me trying to eat on a trash can or whatever, you know, to find a place to do. So anyways, just keep that in mind, too. But you're in a great location. Go and enjoy. That's exactly what a 2-day trip at the Yacht Club should be like.
That's it. I mean, because you're taking advantage of why you're there. You're right there. You can walk right in, walk right out. Now, what about this idea for, you know, making especially the American Adventure Pavilion at Epcot better permanently year round? What if they replace the Liberty Inn with a Texas Roadhouse? You know, something like that. I mean, some American place like Texas Roadhouse.
No.
Yes.
The Texas Roadhouse is not American. It's just
as American as it comes. What are you talking about?
But they could absolutely put in a barbecue place there. And like some of the food that they're putting out right now, I think at Flower and Garden's great. The brisket was good. The pulled pig sliders, good. They have a lot of burnt ends stuff. Like they have a burnt ends hash, which was really good. And then that warm chocolate cake with the bourbon salted caramel sauce. But I mean, the thing about, I think, this booth that would fit in so well with America is you can smell this like three or four countries down, and you know you're coming up on something good. So I think I would be so happy if they got rid of, you know, the Liberty. And I'm just going to say this. Sorry, people who like it, but put in a barbecue house there. I think it'd be awesome.
All right, Joe's got the tweet or the comment of the podcast saying Disney is now considering charging to dine on top of trash cans during the Food and Wine Festival.
I know, it's like a primary spot. It's like a preferred spot.
No.
One of the preferred spots.
If you want a table, you have to pay extra. If you want to eat on a trash can, that's free.
I guarantee if they started charging for the tables, there'd be a lot more tables show up during what the festivals. Right now, they're like a rarity.
It is. Yes.
Hey, maybe that's how they're going to solve that problem. I'm saying that's just that's how they think. Anyway, Chelsea's got the next question. Hey, Mike, Ricky, and Pam. I've been an avid listener of the BOG podcast for the last few years, and I can't say enough good things about the show. Thanks so much. It's been so helpful with trip planning over the years, and even now as a seasoned Walt Disney World veteran. I'm still learning new things each episode. Thank you for being my favorite companion during my long car rides and while I'm typing away on my computer at work each day. I have a two-part question for you today. Number one, I just bought my first annual pass, and I'm excited to get to use it for the first time on my upcoming trip with my mom and my twin sister. We are staying off-site using my parents' timeshare and arriving on separate flights late on Sunday, April 1st. Happy Easter. My sister hasn't been to Disney since our senior trip in high school, which is actually 10 years to the day, so I'm excited to plan this trip for us. My mom and sister each have non-expiration park hopper passes that are still in paper form. Yikes. Since I have to get the AP voucher activated, I figured we could all go to guest relations together since they will need to swap their paper passes for plastic. Since we get in so late on Sunday, we don't have the opportunity to go to guest relations that evening. I already plan on rope dropping every morning, but I'm not sure how early guest relations will be opening. Our first morning will be spent in Disney's Hollywood Studios, which opens at 9. If I get there at 8, do you anticipate the guest relations will be open, or will I have to wait until park opening time? Okay, so that's our first question. First of all, enjoy that AP. You're going to have that. Ricky, I would say that, I mean, definitely guest relations will be open 1 hour before park opening, because that's kind of like their prime time, wouldn't you think? I don't have like an official opening time for guest relations.
No, I would assume that it's at least an hour before official park opening time, just because traditionally lately they've been, you know, they've been letting people in. It's like at the Magic Kingdom, they let them in at least, you know, a half hour early so they can make their way to the castle show, stuff like that. So I would think that they would have to be open in time to help assist guests who maybe need things, you know,
just this,
as they're entering. So, I would say at least an hour ahead of time, if not a little bit earlier than that.
Yeah, I might tend to say 90 minutes prior. I mean, you're going to be there anyway.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking. Yeah,
I'd get there early. And second question, when my mom and sister are leaving on Friday, April 6th, I decided I would extend my stay an additional day because the 6th is my birthday and I want to spend it at Disney World. I booked a room at Coronado Springs for the evening and plan on spending the full day at the Magic Kingdom and Epcot. Now, Magic Kingdom has extra magic hours from 7 to 8 a.m. and I will definitely want to take full advantage of it. In order to do this, I'm assuming I will need to get to Coronado Springs very early in order to check in. In the strong possibility that my room isn't ready, would Bell Services be able to hold onto my bags for me? If so, would they deliver them to my room, or would I need to collect them from Bell Services myself? Thanks, guys. Your friend, Chelsea. She's in Philly. All right, Pam, so what can she do? She's going to Coronado Springs by herself that last day or that last morning, but Magic Kingdom has extra magic hours that morning. She wants to take advantage of that. So tell her about that transition, because you do this all the time.
I do. So you absolutely can go ahead and have Bell Services hold your luggage when you are arriving at your new resort, if you want to do that prior to. If you want to have Bell Services at your resort, go ahead and send over your luggage. Oh, no, I'm sorry. You're not staying on Disney property. Sorry, confused myself for a moment there. But you absolutely can go to Coronado Springs, drop your bags off at Bell Services. They will not deliver those to your room. That's actually a service only reserved for guests who are using Disney's Magical Express. So when you arrive back at the resort, you'll just want to go ahead and pick up your bag again or go to your room and call for your bags to be sent there.
All right.
And that's it. That's it's easy peasy.
It is. Seriously easy there. All right. A bonus question here from Michelle. She says, congrats on 10 years. I'm 25 minutes from Pennsylvania. If I'm staying club level at Beach Club, can I use the pool all day on checkout day? Yes, that's an easy one. Yes, you can. You don't even have to be staying club level. So there you go. That one in. All right. Adam's got the last question of the day. Hi, Mike, Ricky, and Pam. My wife and I are both big fans of the podcast. It's a great way for us to get a daily dose of Disney while we count the days to our next trip. We're bringing our 3-year-old daughter, Lucy, to Walt Disney World in September for a 6-day stay at Pop Century. It's our first taking her, just the two of us. We took her for the first trip this past November with our entire family of 11. I have a couple of questions. Number one, since it's just my wife and I with our daughter, we're going to look to take advantage of the rider swap, but we've never used it before, so we're a little clueless. How does it work, and how can we use it to the best of our advantage over the course of our stay? All right, Ricky, I think it's ironic, but you are really good at explaining rider swap, way better than I am. And so I'm going to go back to you. So tell them how this works. What do you do when you have two parents, one kid? Because I was in this situation for years.
I was hoping you weren't going to come to me, but I know, no, Mike's totally going to come to me with this one.
That's so, it. You're good at it. You give a great answer for this.
So basically how it works is it depends on if you have a fast pass or not, but you will go up to the cast member. You will tell them, I'm looking to participate in rider swap, whatever you want to call it. And they will give you, basically, it's a paper fast pass. The first individual will go and ride the ride, whether it's in standby line or fast pass of whatever you guys have. So if you have a fast pass, that individual will ride with fast pass. If you don't have a fast pass, then that individual will go in the standby line. Once they are, obviously the other person will stay with the child. Once they are done with the riding the attraction, you guys will swap out. You will go in traditionally the fast pass way to go to ride the ride with your paper ticket. And then that person will stay with the baby. And then that's how it works.
Somebody stay with the kid at all times, Adam. That's the key. Make sure somebody's always with the kid and then somebody gets to go ride. So it's all good.
That's right.
So
exactly.
That's kind of how it works. Just remember, somebody's watching the kid and somebody's having fun, then you swap. So not hard. Just go up to the fast pass return. All right. And question number two, we're considering a special event while we're there. Just wanted to get your opinions. Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party or one of the Happily Ever After dessert parties. Thanks again for all the work you do on the podcast and for sharing your love of Disney with us 3 times a week. Adam's up in Exeter, New Hampshire, approximately 608 miles from Pam. And I know where Exeter is because we have sent some of our gifted students in my school district to Exeter school up there. It's like a boarding school for really, really smart kids. I had to write some letters for them. And when they got in, it was pretty sweet. So anyway, Pam, I say the Halloween party. You got a 3-year-old daughter. Dress her up, you know, trick-or-treating. Make her like the cutest little Moana or whatever you want to go. And I mean, everybody be oohing and on over, you know. And it lasts longer. Of course, it is probably twice the cost of a dessert. Well, it's probably about, probably a little bit less than twice the cost of a dessert party, but I'd still go Halloween party. What do you think?
I agree with you. And the beauty of that is that you get to see the wonderful party fireworks, which are absolutely some of my favorite fireworks. That 360-degree thing that they do is just awesome, but love all the party fireworks. And you're going to come back with your weight in Halloween candy. I'm just saying, if you want that. I mean, Ricky and Mike alone have done that.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, I'm just saying that's a fun thing. But yeah, the Halloween party is just so much fun. It really, the parade, the fireworks, I think it's a no-brainer. Go for the party.
Yeah. Ricky, same thing. Would you do Halloween party over dessert party?
I was totally going to say do the Halloween party. Yeah. Halloween party all the way.
Yeah, when we did it, we got so much candy that Pam brought it back and gave it to her students for the whole month of October. I mean, like, she would give them, like, I mean, this is not an exaggeration. She had a class of, like, 25. She would give them, like, each a piece of candy, like, once a day. And they were, like, you know, 15, 20 school days in October. And she still had enough. It was ridiculous. Like, that, we had so much. I mean, it was between the four of us, but I mean,
right.
You know, it's a lot of, and it was good stuff. I mean, you get good candy, and it's just, it's a fun environment. It's way expensive. I wish it wasn't so expensive. But it is something I think everybody does need to experience because it is so cool. I just wish it could be like that all the time, like in October. But I understand that it can't, but it's a neat event. So good stuff. All right. Well, that's going to do it for today's listener question show. Again, come on back on Friday. We're going to have a great time talking Yestertech. Just kidding. I'm just kidding, Matt Parrish. Just trying not to give you a heart attack there. We are going to talk about some of the stuff we've done over the past 10 years, celebrating 10 years of BOGP, and some of the things that have come and gone during that time. So it's going to be a good time reflecting on the last decade. But today's show, again, brought to you by our friends over at virtualmickey.com, home of great apps like Theme Park News, Disney Edition. Ricky, besides the parking, I know that that's like in red and, you know, 78 points on every blog, and you, it's like, it kind of is like a bigger deal than free dining. I shouldn't even say those words, but it kind of is right now. So what else are we reading? I mean, there's other things happening besides, I mean, it's hard to believe, but other things are happening.
There are a few other things happening. First, I'm going to put out something that's very short. So first is the 2018 Epcot Food and Wine Festival dates are announced, and that is August 30th until November 12th. So if you are looking to go to Food and Wine, I know we're currently in Flower and Garden, but Food and Wine, those are your dates. Again, super early, going with the August date again. But the thing that I really want to talk about is because Easter is coming up. This Easter, guests will be able to meet Mr. and Mrs. Easter Bunny in the Town Square Courtyard daily from March 19th until April 1st. Then on March 31st and April 1st, there will be a special Easter pre-parade featuring my favorite, the Azalea Trail Maids, Mr. and Mrs. Easter Bunny, Daisy Duck, Thumper, and Mrs. Bunny, White Rabbit, Rabbit from Winnie the Pooh, Clara Cluck, hippos, ostriches, and dancing chicks. So
watch your language.
That's the exciting thing. I personally love the pre-parade because it reminds me of the Easter parade that they used to air on the TV, which was my parade. I didn't like the Christmas parade, or I didn't know about it much, but I loved the Easter parade. So that's my thing.
That's how we roll in Eastern Missouri here. That's right. That's how we roll in Eastern Missouri. Yeah, listen to today's Wedway, Ricky. That's okay. How we roll right, on the east side of the state. Anyway, no, yeah, the Easter Bunny, though, just it kind of looks out of place at the Magic Kingdom, because I know I saw people posting pictures today of meet and greets with Easter Bunny. It is cute, but it reminds me of something you do like at Kmart. I don't know. It just doesn't.
No!
I don't know why. Like, when I see the Easter Bunny, it startles me, like in pictures at Disney World. I understand, and I'm glad he's there. Like, the kids love it.
Probably because he's not there very often, but, you know,
he looks so
getting
generic.
Ready for the season, and now yeah. He can take some time to show up and take pictures with children.
He just looks, I don't know, it looks like something you would do at Mid Rivers Mall. I don't know, you know, just like, I know I'm not meeting Mickey Mouse at the food court, you know, but he looks like he might be doing a shift at Chick-fil-A. I'm just saying.
I think you're messed up, Mike. I think you're messed up.
Anyway, all right, well, let's get to our next sponsor. So check them out over at virtualmickey.com. And of course, we're also brought to you today by our friends over at Milk Snob, and they are featuring Tigger this week. So you can go over and check out the 5-in-1. It can be used to cover infant car seats, shopping carts, high chairs, infant swings, and even offers 360-degree coverage for nursing. Again, like I said, this week we have Tigger. So drop by MilkSnob.com to see all their great designs and start your first magical order. Again, they're over at MilkSnob.com. Give us a follow on social media. We're on Instagram and Twitter at BeOurGuestMike. We've got a great Facebook page at Facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. And, that's about it. So we're going to get back together on Friday talking 10 years of the BOGP. So going to be fun. I got some good stuff prepared. I did a little research. It's scary. Oh, I know. It took me 10 years, but it's going to be a lot of fun. So we hope you'll be back on Friday for that. So for Ricky and Pam, I'm Mike, wishing you a great Wednesday. Time to head back to work, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.